Good afternoon. For WRCO News, I'm Bo Hendricks, in for Todd Coppernall. Volunteers ages 18 and over are needed to man the gates for this year's Richland County Fair. Please contact Lyrica Marks at lyrica.marks@co.richland.wi.us if you can help, even if for only an hour. The gates are the top priority, but volunteers are also needed for grandstand security, garbage patrol, and vendor assistance. The town of Richland is notifying the public that Mislich Drive will be temporarily closed at or before its intersection with County N, effective immediately. The closure is being made because the intersection presents an immediate and unacceptable safety hazard. Trees and overgrowth vegetation obstruct the view of traffic approaching on County N, making it difficult or impossible for a driver traveling from Mislich Drive to see approaching vehicles before entering the intersection. This condition creates a serious risk of a collision, particularly for school buses, emergency vehicles, residents, and other motorists. This closure is a public safety measure. It is not intended to interfere with emergency services or to create unnecessary inconvenience. There will be no designated detour. Motorists will need to use other existing roads to reach their destinations and should not attempt to enter the closed portion of Mislich Drive from County N. For emergency personnel, fire, sheriff, EMS, or other authorized responders, access to Mislich Drive and Three Springs Lane will be available from Hustler's Ridge. Access will not be available from County N. The closure will remain in place until the site distance hazard has been corrected or until a qualified safety or engineering review determines that Mislich Drive can be reopened safely. The town board will review the closure periodically and will provide notice of any change. The Richland Center Redevelopment Authority is scheduled to hold a meeting on Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. The gathering will take place in the council chambers of the municipal building located at 450 South Main Street. The agenda begins with standard organizational business, including a roll call to confirm a quorum and verify proper public notice. Members will then conduct an election of officers, review and approve the meeting minutes from March 25th, 2026, and receive the latest treasurer's report detailing the authority's financial status. Substantive discussion and possible action items on the open agenda focus on key community development matters. The board is slated to consider a proposal submitted by Bedward Properties. Later in the proceedings, the board plans to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute Section 19.851E. This closed session will allow members to deliberate and negotiate competitive or bargaining strategy concerning the investment of public funds and the potential sale of the RDA property at 300 West Union Street and 300 North Orange Street. Following those discussions, the authority will reconvene into open session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute Section 19.852 to consider and take any appropriate public action on the matters deliberated during the closed portion of the meeting. In a heartfelt demonstration of community support, local resident Lori Bradley has donated $1,152 worth of stuffed toys to the Richland Hospital Emergency Department to provide comfort and reassurance to patients. Bradley, who lives just north of Ithaca, purchased the toys from Richland Center business, the Robin's Nest, to help bring smiles to patients during difficult moments. Bradley's lifelong commitment to children guided her generous decision. Having worked as a four-year-old kindergarten assistant in Weston, Ithaca, and Richland Center, Lincoln, she knew firsthand who would benefit most from the comforting toys. When the owners of the Robin's Nest, Diana Janik and Lindsay Swenson, sought to downsize their inventory, Bradley purchased all of their stuffed animals, surprising the owners with her immediate and clear vision for their use. The stuffed toys will be distributed to children and other patients navigating stressful or uncertain hospital visits. Hospital leaders express deep appreciation for the contribution, emphasizing the powerful community spirit it represents. Linda Tyler Doudna, RN and director of the emergency department, praised Bradley's generosity, noting that such comfort and compassion are vital to creating a reassuring and supportive care experience for patients and families alike. The 170th annual Iowa County Fair concludes today at the Iowa County Fairgrounds in Mineral Point. There is an antique tractor display from now until 7 At 12:30, Tony Rocker will be live as Elvis. Harness racing and crowning of the 2027 Fairest of the Fair will be at 1. There will also be animal shows and exhibits, midway rides, and food. Admissions $10 for adults, $5 for youth ages 8 to 12, and ages 7 under are admitted free. You can find more information and a full schedule at iowacountyfair.com. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee is scheduled to meet on Thursday at 5 p.m. The meeting will take place in the Richland County Boardroom at the County Courthouse, and virtual attendance options will be available. The primary focus of the meeting will be closed session to deliberate on the county's stance regarding current and potential contracts for emergency medical services to specific municipalities. Following the closed session, the committee may take action on any items discussed. Members of the public are welcome to attend and provide comments during the designated public comment period. As the 2026 hunting season approaches, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging hunters across the state to take full advantage of Wisconsin's vast network of public lands. Spanning over 6 million acres, these public grounds offer extraordinary opportunities for both seasoned outdoorsmen and newcomers alike. Beyond state-owned properties, hunters also have access to roughly 8,000 acres of voluntary public access lands, private properties open to public use through landowner agreements funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. To help hunters navigate these expansive grounds, the DNR provides dynamic, mobile-friendly online mapping tools designed for preliminary research. The Public Access Lands tool offers comprehensive visual data on DNR properties, along with nearly all federal and county-owned lands, while also marking open managed forest law and forest crop law areas. For bird hunters, the Fields and Forest Lands interactive game bird hunting tool helps pinpoint young aspen and alder habitats, prime woodcock and ruffed grouse hunting spots, pheasant stock public grounds, and public access dove fields. Additionally, the Voluntary Public Access and Habitat Incentive Program interactive maps display private lands where financial incentives encourage year-round public hunting access. While digital tools provide a great starting point, the DNR emphasizes the online mapping is only the first step. In-person scouting is essential to identify active wildlife sites and assesses local habitat conditions. Hunters should always scout multiple locations prior to opening day to ensure they have reliable backup options in case of sudden weather shifts or higher hunter pressure in a given area. Above all, adherence to foundational firearm safety rules remains paramount. Hunters should strictly follow the TABK principles at all times, and that is to treat every firearm as if it was loaded. Always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Be certain of your target, what is before it, and what lies beyond it, and keep your finger outside the trigger guard until you're ready to shoot. For full regulations, season dates, and hunting hours, hunters can visit the DNR's Hunter Resources webpage to prepare for a safe and successful 2026 season. In a major policy push aimed at revitalizing the domestic cattle industry, President Trump has signed two key executive orders, while U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke L. Rollins announced a series of complementary measures designed to protect livestock and enhance market transparency. Addressing what officials describe as the smallest national herd since the 1950s, the coordinated effort seeks to reverse declining cattle numbers by offering financial and regulatory relief to producers across the country. Central to the new executive actions is a focused strategy to mitigate livestock loss from natural predators. Under the first order, the Department of Interior is tasked with reviewing to protect status of gray wolves and Mexican wolves under the Endangered Species Act to evaluate delisting or downlisting. Furthermore, both the Interior and Agricultural Departments are updating comprehensive guidelines for ranchers affected by predation, and while streamlining authorizations for lethal removal when necessary. To bolster consumer transparency and market fairness, the administration is reexamining a country of origin labeling for beef products in consultation with the United States Trade Representative. These measures build upon the voluntary product of USDA designation to ensure clear identification of domestic beef. Simultaneously, federal authorities are targeting market concentration among major meat packers by directing the USDA to intensify enforcement under the Packers and Stockyards Act and work closely with the Department of Justice on investigation oversight. Beyond regulatory oversight, the USDA Ranchers First Initiative and the 2025 Beef Plan introduce expanded land conservation and technological updates. Nearly 1 million new acres will be enrolled in the Grasslands Conservation Reserve Program, and the Agricultural Marketing Service is scaling its remote grading and instrument-enhanced grading programs to lower processing overhead. Paired with state-level processing expansions, new loan guarantees, and federal purchasing preferences for local beef, these policies mark a comprehensive effort to modernize and safeguard the future of American ranching. The Vernon County Community Development Department has announced the return of the Vernon County Awards for 2026. This year's banquet is scheduled for Wednesday, November 4th at Willow and Oak at Hillsboro Brewing Company in Hillsboro. Now entering its fourth year, the event serves to celebrate the local individuals, businesses, and organizations that contribute to making Vernon County a thriving community. The theme for the 2026 banquet is Stronger Together, Adapting, Innovating, Thriving, and emphasizes the resilience and collaborative spirit of the region's residents and businesses in overcoming challenges and embracing new ideas. A new highlight for this year's festivities is an optional brewery tour of Hillsboro Brewing Company, Vernon County's only brewery. Starting at 4 p.m., the tour will provide guests with a look at the history of the company and the historic building it calls home before the dinner and awards ceremony begin. Nominations for the awards are officially open from September 1st through September 30th. Categories include honors for businesses, events, nonprofits, young leaders, and health and safety services. Community members interested in submitting nominations or seeking more information can access the full list of categories and forms on the Vernon County website. The national average price of diesel has reached an unprecedented all-time high of $5.85 per gallon, surpassing the previous record of $5.82 per gallon set in June of 2022. According to recent data from fuel savings platform GasBuddy, this surge represents a sharp increase of over $2 per gallon compared to September of last year when diesel was priced at $3.70. While gasoline price fluctuations often capture the public's attention, the escalating cost of diesel poses a more profound and far-reaching threat to the broader economy and consumer inflation. Diesel serves as the primary energy source powering critical sectors of the U.S. infrastructure, including freight transportation, railway networks, agricultural machinery, and heavy construction equipment. As diesel prices climb, the cost of transporting goods rises in tandem. These elevated supply chain expenses are ultimately passed down to consumers, leading to higher prices for everyday necessities, such as groceries, household products, and delivery services. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, noted that diesel is the fuel that moves the economy. And when its prices reach record levels, the financial repercussions are felt far beyond the transportation sector. The dramatic increase in fuel cost has been driven by a combination of global energy market factors, including geopolitical tensions, persistent supply chain disruptions, elevated oil prices, tight global inventories, and reduced oil refining capacity abroad. In response to this volatility, an increased number of drivers and businesses are turning to digital tools to manage their budgets. GasBuddy, which saw over 515,000 unique user reports fuel prices in August of this year alone, recommends that drivers actively compare local fuel prices to identify savings. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, has announced the approval of nearly $36 million in post-disaster funding and hazard mitigation grants for Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin. These programs aim to empower state, local, tribal, and territorial governments to recover from recent disasters, rebuild critical infrastructure, and improve long-term community resilience against future events. The largest portion of approved funding consists of $29 million awarded under FEMA's public assistance program across three states. This funding is distributed to support repairs to critical infrastructure, restoration of public buildings, road repairs, and reimbursement for cost incurred to protect public health and safety. Specific allocations include $12 million to the Altman Health Foundation in Ohio for emergency protective measures and medical care during the COVID-19 pandemic. Additionally, the Michigan Department of Technology Management and Budget is awarded $2.7 million for debris removal and communication tower repairs following a 2025 winter storm, while the Michigan State Patrol Homeland Security and Emergency Management Division receives $1.3 million for state management cost and severe storms and flooding in April of 2026. Wisconsin Emergency Management also receives $800,000 to cover administration costs following 2025 storms and flooding in the Milwaukee metro area. Additionally, $5.7 million is awarded through the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program to prevent or reduce future disaster-related damage in Michigan and Wisconsin. Key projects include more than $4.9 million for stormwater and sewer facility improvements in Oakland County, Michigan, which will benefit over 185,000 residents, and over $139,000 for a flood study evaluating mitigation options for a major road in Wrightstown, Wisconsin. Furthermore, FEMA has approved over $854,000 under the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities program to fund embankment stabilization along Miami Street in Toledo, Ohio, protecting local homes and vital roadways during heavy rains. All projects align with FEMA's principles of being state-led and federally supported to ensure robust disaster recovery and proactive threat mitigation. More information can be found at FEMA.gov. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is accepting applications for its Food Security in Wisconsin grant program. Program manager April Yancer says the funding helps stock pantry shelves with fresh Wisconsin-grown fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and other locally produced foods. Yancer says the program not only helps food assistance organizations meet rising demand, but also creates partnership between local farmers and food pantries. State officials say the grant supports access to healthy, cultural relevant foods. More information is available on the DATCAP website. More people are in favor of labor unions this Labor Day. Economic Policy Institute Deputy Director Jennifer Scherer told Iowa PBS a recent Gallup poll found that approval rate for organized labor is at 71%. The future of public unions in Wisconsin is still in the air as a legal fight over Wisconsin Act 10, which banned collective bargaining for most public unions, makes its way through the courts. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds anglers that the 2026 hook and line season for Lake Sturgeon is now open on certain waters through September 30th. All anglers looking to harvest a Lake Sturgeon must have their general 2026 fishing license and a valid hook and line sturgeon tag. License and tags may be purchased online through Go Wild or from a licensed vendor. Anglers are reminded that only one sturgeon with a minimum length measurement of 60 inches may be harvested during the season. Tags must be immediately validated upon harvesting, with all harvested sturgeon registered at a designated registration station. A hook and line sturgeon tag is not required if an angler plans to release the sturgeon they catch in an open season. The DNR urges anglers to practice responsible catch and release when releasing any fish they do not wish to keep. Please note that it is illegal to fish by snagging, foul hooking, and attempting to hook fish other than in the mouth. Sturgeon may only be targeted in waters with an open hook and line season, even if anglers intend to release their catch. If a tagged sturgeon is caught, please submit the catch information to the county's fisheries biologist to help the DNR in future sturgeon management practices. Anglers can find a list of other open sturgeon fishing waters and additional information on the DNR's Inland Hook and Line Sturgeon webpage. Recent enforcement activities by the Wisconsin Office of Commissioner of Insurance underscores a rigorous commitment to professional accountability, with over 25 different agents facing disciplinary measures in the latest reporting period. The most prevalent catalyst for severe action remains the failure to meet state fiscal obligations, as 8 intermediaries saw their licenses immediately revoked due to delinquent Wisconsin taxes. This firm's stance on financial integrity ensures that only those in good standing with the state are permitted to continue serving the public. Beyond tax issues, professional negligence, such as failing to respond to OCI inquiries or neglecting to pay previous financial forfeitures, frequently led to additional license surrenders and revocations, highlighting a low tolerance for ignoring regulatory oversight. Misconduct with consumer interactions also represents a significant portion of recent enforcement actions. Multiple agents were penalized for unauthorized enrollments of consumers into health insurance plans and for making misrepresentations during the sales process. These deceptive practices often involve misleading residents about the nature of their coverage, recommending unsuitable plans, or using another agent's credentials to bypass appointment requirements. In more extreme cases, agents were found selling unauthorized insurance products or committing outright fraud by presenting false claims. Such patterns of dishonesty not only trigger substantial financial forfeitures, but also serve as a primary reason for the denial of new license applications and the permanent removal of established intermediaries from the market. Furthermore, OCI's disciplinary records reveal a critical focus on the disclosure of professional history. Several individuals face penalties of license denials for failing to timely report administrative actions taken by other states or for providing incomplete information regarding criminal histories on their applications. These omissions, coupled with instances of failing to comply with court-ordered child support, are viewed as reflections on an applicant's character and fitness for the industry. By systematically addressing these common misconduct patterns, ranging from tax delinquency to unauthorized enrollments to non-disclosure and misrepresentation, the OCI maintains a transparent and reliable environment for Wisconsin's insurance consumers. Today's winners in St. Anthony's auction calendar raffle are two $50 winners, and they are Patty Braun with ticket 629 and Bun Deidelhoff with ticket number 88.